Last time I spoke to you, last album was about the Carl Barrett who doesn't know or didn't know what the hell was going on in his life. And now this album is about the rebel.
I've done so much stuff since I saw you last. And
what has changed?
Well, you know, I care again about the world where I didn't really care. I'd given up caring in 2010, really. But just before that, before I had my baby. And of course, having babies and finding a new life changed everything for me, really. I've just had another one as well.
Wow!
So I'm collecting them. Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, so I've got two now. And yeah, it's just, it's made me care about the world and what I do, and it's made me want to be more creative and give me more confidence in what I do. You know, things are what they are, and you just have to get on with them.
Although, when I listen to the album, it really doesn't sound like a nice, settled family father. Like, you know, it's about rivalry and, you know, taking each other's chicks away and...
Having a focus and direction doesn't stop the demons. kids aren't a terminus. Kids are just people who come on your journey, and then find their own journeys. That's the way I see it. And yeah, I guess that they do conflict with the ideas. But like the thing is, like in 2010, I had my demons, and my demons were ruling me. Whereas when I'm making a record like this, I'm ruling my demons. You know, they're pulling the carriage, as opposed to just attacking me from every angle, and that's a good place to be.
When I listened to the first song, Glory Days, I thought, oh, there's quite a bit of a Clash influence there.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess a little bit. I mean, I've never been like a Clash obsessive or anything, but I guess if you write a song with that energy, that's a very Clashy energy to write with. And of course, because it's like on the offbeat, that they call it the skanking, that doing that kind of beat is that's going to sound like the Clash anyway when you do it with the electric guitars and drums. Yeah, but that's great. I mean, that's much better than you telling me that I had a Boyzone.
You recently toured with the Libertines again and all that. Did that inspire you as well for your solo stuff?
I pretty much, I'd finished most of my solo stuff before we did the Libertines again. So, yeah, it's different, but it's part of the same, you know, it's who I am now in both bands, you know, is a stronger place. And I've realised that the Libertines thing isn't broken and ruined, you know, because we can still do something with that, and that's great. And I can still do this thing I'm doing separately as well, so busy, but... I'm much, much more content with everything.
Where does the rawness of the album come? I mean, musical rawness, there's loads of punk elements in there.
Well, you know, it's two sides of the coin, really, isn't it? I guess it's always there, isn't it? Both sides are always there. I guess it's what makes you up, but I didn't need to write another Vulnerable record. And I don't, the world doesn't want a Vulnerable record right now. The world's in a really interesting place. Things are changing so fast, and I wanted to be... I want to stop talking about myself for a minute and start reflecting on that. And there's plenty of cause for punky attitude and rawness in what's happening right now and reflecting the changes in the world, for sure. It's only in times of change and uncertainty that starts to come alive in people, I guess. And change is born of that attitude. You know, without that attitude, there would be no change. That kind of historically revolutionary kind of feeling.
Now, Let It Rain, a nice wordplay. What's that song all about?
Well, that's about accepting the things you can't change and not letting that govern your life. Not to be governed by what you can't do, but to be governed by what you can do, really. It's about, you know, at the same time, it's a little bit despairing as well. It's just saying, why did you make me Lord so I can feel this pain? But then it says, I have no say in this, you call the shots, so let it rain. Accepting life as it is and its strange beauties. And, you know, obviously I wrote that with a particularly pernicious hangover. Yeah, and life felt so bad. But then there's a thing they call duende in flamenco music. Or when Kurt Cobain said the comfort in being sad. That if you just accept it, then something sometimes it's all right.
Now, one other song, the third one. It sounds a bit like The Who.
Is it called War of the Roses?
Yes.
That started off as quite a funny story. Literally sitting there, what should you write a song about? And then it turned into quite a deep and beautiful thing. But it's about somebody swapping their dog for the last line of drugs, and then in the morning changing their mind and saying it's not fair because they were high. And then they play tricks on each other throughout the verses. But then the point is that they're great. They might be drug addicts and scoundrels, but their love for each other is as real as any love. That's it. They're the greatest friends. Nobody cares for me like you. And then and then they do some horrible stuff. But that's just an echo of. I guess I kind of got inspired by, you know, when one sees in London, you know, to like the sort of worst Hogarthian drug addicts couples in the morning arguing over the dregs in a can of something, some horrible, strong, fortified beer. Oh. And it's just, but the love for each other and the sadness and the tragedy in that, I guess it's kind of about that.
What inspires you most to write about?
At the moment, just reflecting. I mean, I've started to love writing again, which I hadn't really done since I was about 20. So
you hated writing before?
Yeah, well, I don't really like the act that much, but I love the rewards it brings afterwards.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it's kind of, I'm just work shy. I like listening to music and going for walks. But but it's worth it when I do it, definitely.
When we last talked, there was a lot of history references and all that, and you were quite playing with Dadaism and vaudeville and all that. And this time it's kind of really back to the roots. Was that intended?
I guess so. I mean, they say a gentleman is a man who can play the accordion but doesn't. So, you know, I think that's kind of applicable in this situation. Now, I did want to just... I could go down these Dada vaudevillian routes and skirt around the issue, but I wanted to do something with some real, just some real direct gusto and heart. But I mean, having said that, maybe we'll do some more vaudeville next time.
What about the rival thing?
The March of the Idol.
Yeah.
That's not actually about rival. It's about there'll be no revival. The time is now. It's about hordes of people. Not really knowing they're alive, just being plugged into internets and screens and TVs and I don't know. I mean, it's like a, you know, I guess it's an extension of the opium of the masses kind of thing. You know, it's just sort of it just doesn't seem very vital or alive. It just seems very like people are just gears of the machine, just getting on without really. I know I don't want to patronise people. I think. People are, I don't begrudge people that at all, and people are people, and that's fine. But just for me, it just feels a bit like that. I don't like the thought of myself becoming just a drone, just a cog in the machine. And it just seems like everyone's becoming idle. People don't realise the opportunities that are afforded them, that are out there if they seize them. And that's being encouraged by the big fucking corporations and companies, I suppose. The song's kind of like it's just like post-apocalyptic storytelling, really. It's not actually a real thing.
It's all the same. You've got McDonald's everywhere. You've got KFC everywhere.
Well, exactly, like... and that's been changing. I mean, it's been coming more and more like that for years. And then all these groups they merge, and all these corporations merge, and it's like the music industry. There's like, and soon there'll be like one label left. And the same with all the companies and corporations buying each other up, and then all this like corporate piracy that goes on, and then but that's been going on for years. Like, you know, like a bigger influence on the album is 1984, the George Orwell book, and the very prophetic story about Big Brother and, you know, one nation with a right and a wrong dictator to the people, to the drones. It's not a new theme by any length, but every day it gets closer to being truth. It's been startlingly close to the truth ever since it was written in 1948.
Are you sometimes like personally scared of it, like your children growing up in this world?
Yeah, I guess so. But I've got faith in instincts and human nature and the force of nature, and you know, like nature doesn't. I think nature as a whole is an optimistic force. It doesn't design us to fall in, fall by the wayside, and implode and collapse. It's an infinitely amazing, and you know, and I've got faith in my boys and faith in life. Oh, of course, I get scared, but you know, I get scared to look at my babies and you know, are they still breathing? You know, that kind of, I mean, everyone does that, but there's no point thinking like that, because nature doesn't design babies to not breathe. You know, but of course, bad shit happens. But yeah, there's no point just focusing on that fear.
Even with the Libertines, you had this Albion thing, and you used quite a few very heroic words, like let it rain and glory, and I don't know, even yeah. without, you know.
No, you're right. But I mean, like, the whole glory day thing it's really hard to explain songs, because they do come out as, you know, they are kind of, like, it's like trying to explain a piece of art on the wall. Of course, they're question marks. They're question marks, aren't they? And the whole thing about glory days, like, what is glory? Glory is a word that's applied to people who did what their country told them. People who were manipulated by the system. Oh, that's glory for king and country. You know, that's and that's obviously that. Obviously, that's not okay. That's bad. That's murderous and horrendous. And everything that's bad about the world is people manipulating other people and telling them it's glory. You know, telling people to have a stiff upper lip as a bit of PRing, so the whole nation never complains. I think that's horrendous, and then that's under the banner of glory. So what is real glory? And that's kind of what I was getting at a bit with glory days. But then there are things that are genuinely glorious. I think that's just how words get manipulated and seized by people. Using, you know, like the English flag was kind of people sort of seized by the far right groups in the '80s, and you know. So, I mean, it's a funny business.
Now, what about touring? Are we going to see you tour this album?
Yes, we'll be touring the album. I mean, the Jackals. We've got some dates set up. I think we're going to be over here in March. And then we're going to do a little bit of America. We just did a bit of England. We're going to do another bit of England after the record comes out. Do our glory lap. Hey. I don't know, I say that. If anyone's still interested and wants to come to gigs. We'll find ourselves playing much smaller venues. We'll see. But yeah, I'm really enjoying being with the boys in the band at the moment, and I'm really looking forward to Libertines as well. It's all right.
What about the Libertines? Can we expect any new material?
Well, I wish everyone would keep expecting it. I'm gonna do it, but it's starting a bit. I mean, that was the plan. But everyone keeps asking me that. It's gonna feel like homework. You know, I want to write naturally and organically for the love of writing, not because I've told everyone. Yeah, I'm gonna write.
No, I don't care when. It's a question of whether.
We intend to write. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm getting back to Thailand in a few days actually to go and see my boy. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll take it from there. I've got that movie coming out. A French movie called For This Is My Body. I played the lead in that. That comes out in May.
Uh-huh.
And that's like, I guess in England you'd call that an art house film. It's not a rom com or a thriller, but it's a great little story about a rock star and a groupie.
So, and what happens?
Well, obviously there's a modern tale of star-crossed lovers, I suppose. But I couldn't tell you more than that. You'll just have to see.
Listen, thank you so much.
Oh, don't be silly.